of comfort and release, a special place of healing, a quiet place of peace. And everyone who dwells there finds rest beneath God's wings. In the shade of his pavilion, new strength he always brings. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world's embrace. He gives me rest, he keeps me safe. I find his strength, I seek his face in the secret place. With every trial he brings, my Lord will make a way to strengthen and protect me, to help me face each day. He leads me through the valley to draw me closer still, knowing even in the shadows I find his perfect will. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world's embrace. He gives me rest, he keeps me safe. I find his strength, I seek his face in the secret place. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world's embrace. He gives me rest, he keeps me safe. I find his strength, I seek his face in the secret place. I find his grace, I seek his face in the secret place.
Thank you for that.
All right, so if you have your Bibles today, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and then put your finger there and go to Numbers 25. All right, on behalf of the students, I would just like to thank all of the teachers and for everything that they did for us this year. I know that sometimes it's hard for us, hard for the teachers to see that we appreciate them, but we really do appreciate you guys, and thankful that for everything you guys have done for me personally over the last 6 years I've been in junior high and high school, and just want to thank you guys, and I know all the kids mean it too. All right, let's start there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Skip to verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, therefore men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And then we'll skip down to 22 and read to 25. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And then Numbers 25, we'll start there in verse number 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake, among them that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you be with me and just be with the service and be with everybody's week. And as we're winding down summer, pray that you just be with everybody, that they would get prepared for this new year, the kids going to school and everything going on in the fall, and just be with everything and the games tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wondered how two people from the same church that went to the same services, they heard the same preaching, but ended up in two very different places? Today, I want to talk about two people just like that from the Word of God. We see they had the exact same name. They were from the exact country. They both hung around the people of God. They both heard the preaching of God on a weekly basis. But one's life ended in a tragedy, and one did something great for God. So what was it that can cause these two men who had such similar backgrounds to have such different outcomes in their life? If we were to evaluate our lives, which Phinehas would we most closely resemble? I want to give you three reasons why I think one Phinehas turned out for God and one didn't. The first reason we see is one Phinehas didn't know the Lord while the other did. 1 Samuel 2:12, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. We see one Phinehas knew not the Lord, even though he grew up in the pastor's home and he heard all that preaching. He chose not to know the Lord and stay close to him. We see one Phinehas sought the Lord, Judges 20, 27, 28. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord for the Ark of the Covenant of God, for it was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. We see that this Phinehas sought the Lord. We see he saw a problem, and instead of just standing there and not doing anything, he cried out to the Lord and asked him, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Should I go against battle? And we see how Lord, he promised him that he would give him the victory. The biggest thing that will determine whether our life turns out for God or not is our personal relationship with God. Instead of maybe spending our time surfing the internet or just watching TV shows, and maybe we should spend it spending time with the Lord more, being involved in more ministries in the church. I know our church has countless ministries that we can be involved in, and easy for us to stay busy. How's your relationship with the Lord? Do you even have one? We see the number one Phinehas didn't know the Lord while the other did. Number two, one Phinehas became bored of the things of God, but the other stayed zealous. 1 Samuel 2:15-17. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. We see that the things of God weren't a big deal to this Phinehas anymore, that he directly went against the priest, and the whole church thing just became a routine thing to him, and he got used to it. But we see the other Phinehas, Numbers 25:10-11, and the Lord said unto Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake, and that I consumed not the children of Israel. The things of God were still a big deal to this Phinehas, and even though he might have grown up in church and was there around it all the time, it was still real to him, and he, because of the decision that he made, he really saved a country. Our problem isn't that preaching isn't special, it's that it isn't important to us anymore. Maybe we hear my dad preaching, and he uses the same illustration, like, oh, I've heard that illustration, I've heard this sermon, here we go again, but maybe we need to have we become dull of hearing like the Bible speaks, or is it still special to us? We see that Judas had the privilege that very few had. I mean, he was one of the 12 disciples. He got to walk side by side with Jesus, be face to face. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I had one thing to do, I'd want to go see one of the miracles firsthand. He got to witness many miracles firsthand, and he was Jesus' friend, but the Bible says he rejoiced not in the blessing. Somewhere along the line in his relationship, he lost his joy and he lost it all. What is God trying to do in your life and your church that you're missing out on? Maybe we need to ask God, as David did, to return you into the joy of your salvation. I mean, maybe we're not as into church and involved as we were when we were first when we first got saved and got involved in the church. Maybe we need to make a clear decision today to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So first we said one Phinehas didn't know the Lord while the other did. One became bored of the things of God, but the other stayed zealous. And lastly, one Phinehas didn't fear the Lord while the other did. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken unto the voice of their fathers, because the Lord would slay them. We see that one Phinehas had no fear of God in his life. He knew that God, he could do anything to him, but he really didn't fear him, that he wasn't scared of the Lord. But we see that the other one, he did fear the Lord. Numbers 25, 7 and 8. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. We see this Phinehas, he saw the sin, this man's open sin, and instead of standing there and not doing anything, he couldn't just sit there. He had to go do something, and even though there was many people who could have done things, he had to be the one to do it. And we see the other Phinehas, how he openly just didn't care and didn't do anything. He not only did he go against the Lord, he went against, or not only did he go against the judges and his leaders, he went against the Lord directly. One thing that will determine which Phinehas we are is the fear of God in our life. The fear of the Lord is realizing that wherever I am, whoever I'm with, whatever I'm doing, that God is there by our side watching us. Maybe we're with our friends and someone recommends going somewhere we shouldn't go, or someone says something a little shady, and maybe we need to step up and make it clear that we're not going to do that. Or maybe we often have the mindset that we should fear God because of what he would do to us. I mean, we've heard the stories in the Bible how God has struck people dead. He's opened up the earth and swallowed people. And it's true. But in addition to that, we should also fear the Lord because of what he won't do with us. So number one, we said one Phinehas knew the Lord while the other didn't. Number two, one Phinehas became bored of the things while the other didn't. And third, one Phinehas didn't fear the Lord while the other did. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be put on God's shelf of usefulness. I want to be used of God and have him do something in my life and use my life to help others and, as they sang earlier, make a difference. I want my life to count for God. It takes one mistake, one decision to lose God's blessing in your life. So in closing, one Phinehas was a spiritual casualty and eventually replaced. One Phinehas was greatly used of God. God even said his seed forever will be. So which Phinehas will you be? Do we know the Lord? Have we gotten used to the things of God? And do we fear him?
All right, hello. My name is Frankie Lopez. And if I can have you stand as we read the word of God. Turn to Mark 10. Please stand and turn to Mark 10. Read a few verses there in Mark 10 and verse 17. We'll begin reading. Mark 10, 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Verse 19. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing that thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the day of life given to us, Lord. Just thank you for this beautiful Sunday, Lord, and just this opportunity to come and preach from your word, Lord. It's not my words, but the words from you. Just help me to just be clear in my sayings, Lord. Help them to have understanding, and just be with all that goes on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in this story that the young ruler ran to Jesus, and he asked the question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you know, I don't think he was actually asking the question. I think he was more seeking confirmation. Just like we do when we ask how we look. We know we look good, but we just want to hear from someone else. You know, but Jesus told him otherwise. And he couldn't handle the truth, so the man walked away. He drooped his head, his shoulders sagging, and you can almost see it in your head that it was the exact opposite of how his rapid entrance. I could think later on, years later, when he was sitting on his throne, empty and unfulfilled, he was thinking, if only I was all in and I listened to Jesus. We all want to do great things for God, but the thing is, we always find a reason that we don't. God has given each and every single one of us a unique calling that we should do for him. It can be a missionary to Antarctica, or it can be a faithful layman in a church. Whatever it is, we should be all in for it. We often become master negotiators when it comes to the will of God. We say, I'll do your will if I have a nice car. I'll do your will if I have a big house. I'll do your will if I'm comfortable. But that's not how God works. He wants us to be all in. We have to go wherever he leads us. So often we say we would die for God, but the thing is we wouldn't because we don't live for him. If you want to be greatly used for God, you have to be willing to follow him wherever he leads you. You have to be all in. Today we're going to discuss a few reasons why we aren't willing to be all in. Number one, we are lukewarm. In Revelation 3:16 it says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, I'm sorry, Brother Myers, but I'm not a big coffee drinker. But one thing I do know about coffee is that lukewarm coffee is some of the worst. And just like we hate lukewarm coffee, God hates lukewarm Christians. He says he's going to spew them out of his mouth. These are some strong words that God uses. And one reason we're lukewarm is because, A, we lose our fire. Once we were saved, we couldn't wait to serve God in any way we could. We wanted to be a part of every ministry we were able to. But somewhere over time, we lost this fire, this zeal, this desire to serve God. Are we still reading our Bible like we used to? Do we still pray like we used to? Do we still have the desire to go to church? Do we sit in on the messages and feel the tug that God has on our heart? Do we still get teary-eyed because God is speaking to us? The sad truth is, many of us are losing our fire. Another reason we become lukewarm is because we get comfortable. Some of us have been in church since the nursery. We've been here 10, 15, 20 years, and we're getting comfortable. You know, we may not be doing anything sinful, nothing wrong, but we're not living up to our full potential and doing God's will. There's a man named Bertoldo Giovanni. It's a name even the most enthusiastic lover of art is unlikely to recognize. He was the pupil of Donatello and the teacher of Michelangelo, the greatest sculptor of all time. Michelangelo came to him when he was 14, and it was apparent that he was very gifted. But Giovanni, knowing that talented people are often rather tempted to coast rather than to grow, and therefore he kept his young prodigy under pressure. One day he came into the studio, finding Michelangelo toying with a piece of art far beneath his abilities. So Giovanni grabbed a hammer, stomped across the room, smashed the work into pieces, and said, Michelangelo, talent is cheap, dedication is costly. Just like Michelangelo, we as Christians are doing so much less than we're able to. We are becoming comfortable. Another reason we're not willing to be all in is because excuses. We all have excuses. A wise man once said, excuses are like armpits. We all have them and they stink. We can also think of many biblical examples. Abraham thought he was too old to have a child. Jeremiah thought he was too young to preach the word of God. And even Adam said in Genesis, God, the woman that you gave me of the fruit to eat. He tried to blame God. But the most notable one is Moses. And we're going to look at three of his excuses. So if I can have you turn your Bibles to Exodus 3:10. We'll talk about the life of Moses just when he first got called. Exodus 3:10. Read two verses. All right, Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? In verse 11, he says, who am I? You know, just like Moses, we can think, who am I? I'm not exciting enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not a good speaker enough. But it's time to start saying, I can't, and start saying, he can. If we want to be greatly used by God, we have to be willing to follow him wherever he leads us. It's time to stop hiding behind the excuses we're so good at making, and time to start following. Another excuse he had was, what if no one believes me? In Exodus 4:1 it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He at this point was afraid of failure. What if they think I'm crazy? What if they don't believe that God appeared to me? So God gave him a staff, which we know as Moses' staff. And just like God gave Moses' staff, He's given us a unique ability, a unique talent, which we can use for his honor and glory. And lastly, his last excuse was send someone else. Exodus 4:13 says, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." We see here, even after all that God has said to him, he still wanted him to send someone else. But I think the bottom line is Moses just did not want to go. Whether he was happy in his current situation, his lack of faith, or his fear, Moses didn't want to go. And just like Moses didn't want to go, I think many Christians are scared to go. We wanted him to send someone else. When our boss asks us to complete a task, we don't make excuses or ask him to tell someone else. We just simply do the task. Why don't we do the same for our Heavenly Father? And lastly, why we're not all in is because of sacrifices. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Say, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. John Jowett said, "Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing." What is it that you're scared to give up? Is it your friends? Is it your family? Is it your future ambitions? You know, I can think of Jesus. He gave us all he had. Why can't we give something to him? You know, another reason we're scared to make sacrifices is because dedication. We're scared to be dedicated to anything today. We see that in marriage. We see that in our New Year's resolution. I don't know if you guys still have that. We see that in our dedication to work. We see that in our dedication to God. So many men will accomplish great things because they're dedicated to the cause. So many evil and good men. We can think of Fidel Castro. He was a leader in the Communist Party for over 36 years in Cuba. He spent his whole life building something on the verge of collapse. So a reporter asked him, "Why don't you just give up? Your system's a failure." Castro responded, "Why give up on something you believe in?" If an evil man like Castro can believe in something that's wicked and evil and failing, then why can't we who serve the Almighty God, who are on the winning side, be all in? So in conclusion, what is it that's holding you back today? Are you lukewarm? Are we making excuses? Are you willing to sacrifice? Or is today the day you're going to be willing to be all in? Thank you.